Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm finally here to do our 2023 to 24 season wrap up. The season finished a few weeks ago. There's quite a bit to talk about, actually. I've got quite a few notes, just things I've jotted down, things that need to happen, things that have happened already. There's a good chunk of both of those things, actually. So, no game review, nothing like that, but there's going to be a lot to talk about today for our season wrap-up. And I did say that I was going to wait, it's a stupid thing to decide to do, wait for the club to figure out what they're doing with Erik ten Hag so we can have more of a focused discussion. Well, it's been over 2 weeks. I think it's been, let me just actually check, right, because the final was on the 25th of May. So two and a bit weeks since the cup final itself, and the club still have not decided what they're gonna do. There's been an argument made that, okay, are Man United not saying anything about Ten Hag because they already knew they were gonna keep him? I think with the amount of cloudiness around the situation, the amount of uncertainty around the situation, I think they need to clarify if they are or are not going to be keeping him. We can rule a few managers out, however. They have said that, I think it was Pochettino and Thomas Tuchel are both not getting the job. De Zerbi's not been taken off the table, and Gareth Southgate hasn't. Kieran McKenna's been taken off the table. I think he was having a discussion with Ipswich about getting a new long-term contract. Cool, he should stay with Ipswich, he got them promoted, he should keep on working with them, which it seems like he's going to be. But it seems to just be maybe De Zerbi and Gareth Southgate, or indeed sticking with Erik ten Hag. But I thought, rather than sitting here and waiting for Man United to do something, there's also the actual season to talk about, and a few bits of things that could happen, need to happen, things that have happened as well. So we've got plenty to talk about anyway. And I did hear today as well that Erik ten Hag is back to work tomorrow, so it would be the 10th of June, so a decision's going to be made. But I'm not waiting around anymore to do this podcast. I should have done this about a week ago. I should have probably done this soon after the FA Cup final, but I foolishly thought that Man United were going to be a bit quicker with the decision, but they haven't, which leads me to talking to many, many things that we need to do, and the fact that Man United are moving far too slowly on everything. Let me just run through, but before I actually get to my thoughts on the season and stuff, I just want to do a bit of this at the top. We've got to figure out who the manager is going to be. We've got to sort something out with the stadium, whether it's repairs, build a new stadium, whatever that's going to be. Sort the medical department out. And of course, transfers as well. So, you know, there's a couple of things that need doing. we've already got into a situation where we were supposed to go for, I think it was Elise from Crystal Palace. We were supposed to be in for him. And Chelsea already seem like they've, you know, Chelsea have sorted their situation out. Pochettino, I think he was announced to be leaving in and around the end of the season. And I can't remember the new person's name, but they've already got a new manager. Their stadium doesn't need fixing because they've actually been looking after it. And they're looking to get, I think it's either Elise or Eze. They're looking to get one of those players in. And we still are figuring out what to do. But it's like this internal review, why is it taking you over 2 weeks to figure that out? I actually think it's a little bit disrespectful towards Erik, because he's sitting there, what, waiting to be told yes or no? I assume they've talked with him and he's put his viewpoints over of like, here's what I want to do. I know we didn't do everything we wanted to do, etc. But it feels like a sort of, can you wait for us to talk to these like five other managers because we might prefer one of them over you? Can you wait around and see? That feels very, very wrong. Like, at least with, okay, because this situation is very similar to Louis van Gaal in 2016. But from what I understand with that, he knew he was going to be going before the FA Cup final even happened. So it was like he won that, celebrated, then he was off, then we brought in Jose Mourinho. It was decided very quickly. So how am I feeling? A couple of weeks removed from the FA Cup final. There's been some things that have happened. Some players have come back, some players have gone. There's been talk of other things happening with other players. It feels frustrating and awkward at the moment. Like if you ask me, okay, how do I feel about Man United right now after the season with a few bits that have happened? I feel quite annoyed, I feel quite frustrated, and I feel very, very impatient with this football club. But the thing that really kind of bugged me, because I've put here thoughts and feelings and then FA Cup aftermath, I guess you can tie those things together. Before, during, and after the FA Cup final, it was very frustrating to. Okay, if Eric does lose this game, he probably is gone, right? We knew that there was a lot riding on that FA Cup final, and we did win, to the surprise of everybody. And you just couldn't help but feel on the day itself, the day before, the day after, 2 weeks after that, that there's just this cloud in the air of like, hey, Wembley, FA Cup final, Manchester Derby Cup final, big game, red versus blue, all this kind of stuff. Players are back, Martinez is back, let's go and win this cup final. And you've just got this situation hanging over everybody's head of like, is this Eric's last game? That kind of thing. And then you get Alan Shearer asking Eric after the game of like, hey, do you think you'll be here next season? It's like, mate, you're talking to somebody who's just won the FA Cup final. At least talk to him about the game rather than just like, oh yeah, you did that thing. That thing's all right, but do you think you'll be here next season sort of thing? It felt like there was this. I celebrated. It was absolutely brilliant to win the game and to beat Manchester City, of course, but there was just this thing hanging over everybody's head of like, is this his last game? And even because I've watched obviously the goals, the highlights several times, the trophy lift several times because it's a nice thing to watch. And even when we're lifting the trophy on the side of the stadium in the stand and they hand it over to Eric and he's like, lifting the trophy and this and that, you can feel even from his facial expressions, even from like, there's just a read the room kind of feeling going on of like, this guy's just finished eighth, but hey, here he is with an FA Cup final, but will he be here next season? It didn't feel as celebratory as it should have, because there was this thing hanging over everybody's head. I don't know, it was just annoying. But it still felt great to beat them, of course. But there was just this cloud above everybody's head that I felt to be really annoying. So let's get into some other notes here, because I guess in terms of my review of the season, we've got a very mixed bag, and see, statistically, in terms of the Premier League performance, this is our worst ever Premier League performance. I think we finished seventh twice before that. I think in the Ole Ragnik season and in the David Moyes season. But I don't feel like this is our worst Premier League season. Those two other seasons I've just mentioned, David Moyes season, of which he didn't even last the full season, because what was it? Giggs took over near the end, I think, or Carrick or somebody. I think it was Giggs for like last three games of the season or something. That was the that that to me is the worst Premier League season I've ever seen. There was at least some good parts and some good moments this season in the Premier League. Some good games, some good comebacks, some other stuff. But it was just unfortunate that, and I don't want to like, oh, we finished eighth because we had injuries. I think it's very interesting. Looking at, let's say, the FA Cup final, and like Martinez is back, Amrabat's here, Varane is back, the partnership is there, we've got a solid back four for a change, and okay, Haaland's on the bench, but you've got a much more solid lineup, and you didn't have a bunch of 17, 18-year-olds on the bench. And we were on record this season having the most Premier League injuries. They said it was 46. I have the number 75. I think that's across the whole season. It was 75 injuries. But the thing is, right, is okay, what's Eric's style of play? Passing out from the back, pressing, transition football, all those different words that you could use. I can't look past the fact that okay, one of the key things of how we start our football is playing out from the back. Onana, that's why he's there. You've got Varane, Martinez, they can both do that. And obviously, you'd probably say Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, right? You start with there, then you have a solid spine to your team, good wingers, a good striker. I think I heard that, I don't know if it's just for the Premier League, we had 15 different combinations of the back four this season in total. And even if you just look at Onana, right? Week in, week out. Forget his shot stopping. I'm just talking about the style of play thing for a minute. And it's at one point where you don't have a left back for a month, and you put Lindelof there, who shouldn't be playing there, but you have to. And then you've got Amrabat starting his Man United career left back. Okay, he's adaptable, but starting off your career there in a new country, in a new league, in a different league, out of position, is not easy. And then you've got like that just changing week in, week out, week in, week out. And even when it was a case of players, let's say, coming back from injury, how many of them were actually fully fit? How much a percentage of the time were they fully fit, or how often were they rushed back? And I just really wonder, let's say you cut that in half, you cut the 75 in half, and you have five different combinations of your defense rather than 15. And let's say Martinez was more available, Ram was more available, Casemiro had played better in midfield and hadn't also been injured, Kobbie also hadn't been injured. Because we forget, even though he had a big stretch of games at the end of the season, Kobbie Mainoo, he did get injured in pre-season. And like, what about if he could have started the season? And like, yeah, there's all these little, like Mason Mount, what about if he wasn't injured as much? And like other things like that as well. It's just 75 is a staggering amount of injuries, and it obviously that would obviously definitely affect you. Whether it's an excuse of how, like, because we did have some truly awful, terrible games this season, but it's definitely a factor. It's definitely a factor. But when you're trying to do one of your core things, which is play out from the back, and you've almost every single week got a difference in that back four, that's definitely going to affect that. Like, how are we supposed to properly play out from the back when you've got like, Maguire, Evans, and then Lindelof at left back? That it just became so makeshift. And okay, Willy Kambala broke through the team because of defensive injuries, that actually turned out to be a good thing. But these things weren't supposed to happen. So I don't know. Yeah, in terms of like worst seasons and things, the Ole Ragnik season was definitely worse than this, but the Moyes one was, I would say, worse than that, definitely. But in terms of Premier League seasons, this is the third worst, I would probably say. So like, okay, statistically, it's the worst because we finished eighth, but it doesn't feel like the worst season. We did do some good things at points this season, but it just bunch of different things happened. A bunch of different things happened. I got a bit of a bone to pick with. Let me move on to my next bit. I got a bit of a bone to pick with Sir Jim Ratcliffe. You came in, spent, was it 1.5 billion of investment? Sorry, I think the 1.5 billion was for him to get his shares to be part of Manchester United, or the Ineos thing, right? And that he's now, as difference, but they say, talk the talk, walk the walk, whatever, let actions speak louder than words. There's a lot of different ways to phrase what I'm trying to say, right? He's come in and said, I want a modern stadium, all this kind of stuff. I want to beat Man City on the pitch. Granted, we did do that in a very important game. We want like good transfer. Like, he really has talked the talk at the moment. But Okay, when we saw from what was it, the Arsenal game, the state of Old Trafford and 75 injuries and all this kind of stuff. And okay, he's not going to come in and 1 week into his job wave a magic wand and everything's fixed. You know, that's not going to happen. But my problem already is okay, the FA Cup final ended. It's a decision on Ten Hag that should have taken less than 2 weeks. You've not done anything for transfers so far. We haven't made any bids for any people. Haven't heard a word about what they're doing with the stadium. I know there was something about him trying to seek funding from Sir Keir Starmer, of course the Labour candidate. Yeah, Labour candidate. I haven't heard of anything else happen. I know that Keir Starmer was at one of our games or something, and Jim Ratcliffe was talking to him. But we're approaching 3 weeks after the FA Cup final. No word on the stadium, no word on transfers. Don't know who the manager's going to be. We don't know where we'll be playing football in August. We don't know if Old Trafford could very well come down. I don't know if I've ever, at least in my lifetime, which is 30 years, so obviously 94, I don't know if I've ever gone into a summer, like in between seasons, so obviously the summer, with Man United needing to be as busy as they need to be right now. There's so many things to do. You've got to sort the medical department out, stadium, pick a manager, I suppose, then transfers, who is going, who is staying. There's lots of things to sort out, but things just feel so slow at the moment. And what's so disappointing about that is we're unfortunately quite used to that because it takes us usually 3 weeks to a month to sign one player, and then we end up going through the summer and signing about four people when we've needed more. We're terrible at selling people because all of our players' wages are way too high, play teams don't want to pay enough for them, all those sorts of things. And we end up overspending on people. And we did think that Jim Ratcliffe was going to come in and sort of, okay, offload whoever you need to offload. You're going to lose some money on transfers, but kind of just try and have a fresh start. But nothing's happened so far. Like is it the case that for the two weeks after the, because that's what I'm judging it from, right? After the cup, what have you done since the FA Cup final? Nothing. You've talked to a bunch of managers who I don't know why you're approaching them. Eric's got 1 year left on his deal, and you've just bumbled about for 2 weeks talking to managers. I don't know. It feels so slow. Like we should be talking about what we're doing with the stadium. We should be trying to put bids in for players. And right, I said this earlier in the season of the excuses I'm not accepting this year. Well, granted, I didn't accept them from before. I don't care that there's a Euros on, right? Not in terms of what I'll be curious to see who wins it and that kind of thing, right? I don't want to hear no nonsense about like, oh, we couldn't buy this player because they're out of the Euros. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear that. That's just an excuse not to buy someone, which we've used before. I don't want to hear about money. We've not got enough money, this, that, and the other. That's not an excuse. Granted, you know, if you suddenly hear, oh, we're in for these six players and it will cost 800 million, okay, that's, you know, that's a bit much. But I don't want to hear, oh, we can't get this player for 60 million because we haven't got any money. That's absolute bollocks. We're Manchester United and we've got plenty of money. Granted, we are quite highly in debt, but that should be managed. I just, yeah, there's so many. I don't want to hear like, oh, FFP, this, that, and the other. I don't want to hear about we've not got any money. I don't want to hear we couldn't, oh, we missed out on the opportunity to get this, I don't know, Spanish player or whatever, because they're out of the Euros. It's just like, and I'm already prepared for sort of, oh, we missed out on this player because they're out of the Euros. We couldn't get in contact with them, or something stupid. I've heard all these excuses before. I don't want to hear like, oh, we missed out on this player because we just weren't quick enough, which already might happen if Elise or Eze, I think it's Elise, goes to Chelsea. If you see in the next, give it 2 weeks. If you see in the next 2 weeks Elise's gone somewhere that isn't Manchester United, it's because we didn't move quick enough because we spent 2 weeks trying to figure out who we wanted the manager to be. It's not acceptable. It's too slow. It's bad. And it's just going to cause us to fall further behind. Aston Villa finished above us in the league this season. Newcastle finished above us in the league. Tottenham finished above us in the league. And I've already heard things like Aston Villa are bidding for this, that, and the other player, 20, 30 million. We're too slow. We're just too slow. But where I sort of, because I remember when we did get Jim Radcliffe in, and I said, oh, he sounds like, I'll give him a chance. I'm not going to get too excited yet. You're already falling behind. It's already too slow. You're already being far too slow. I don't care if players who haven't been selected are on holiday and they can't sign for us because they're rubbish. I'm not accepting any of that. We're Manchester United and we should be run properly. And there's a guy who's just come in with his team with Ineos, who, by the way, has just replaced all of that, the executives and the directors and all those sort of higher up jobs. Most of those have been replaced. So what are those people doing as well? This is the summer when we really need to upgrade on this team, do something with the stadium, and act faster than what we have in the past. But so far, the only choice we haven't made is choosing a manager, and I'm really, really disappointed. I'm really, really frustrated about it. That really sucks. Okay, that's that kind of, I guess you'd call it a rant if you want to. But a genuine actual question, rather than me just kind of somewhat aimlessly ranting but also having a point. Where are we going to be playing football in August? August is 2 months away. In fact, in exactly 2 months, 2 months and 1 week, because the first fixture's on the 17th, either that week or the week after, depending on where we play first, we will be back at Old Trafford. What will the state of Old Trafford be? Because last time we saw it, it weren't looking too good. That's an actual, proper, genuine question. Where are we going to be playing football in August? Because obviously, even if Monday morning tomorrow you start building a stadium, it's not going to be ready for August. There's been no talk. Do you know how annoying it's been to see, like, I've not looked for these things, but like stadium update videos from different clubs. There's clubs from like lower leagues of names I've forgotten. There's Man City are doing theirs, Everton are doing theirs. Even though Everton got in financial trouble, they paid what they you know, took their punishment, took their points deduction. They're still trying to move quickly with their stadium update, and we're just sitting there twiddling thumbs. Or I don't know. I don't know what all these people are doing. But you know how annoying it is to see like Everton posting stadium update videos and we're just sitting in Old Trafford that's falling apart. Because like I really want to put this out there that obviously I hope that this doesn't happen, of course. And if it does happen, I hope obviously nobody's in the stadium when it happens. What if Old Trafford does collapse? Because I mean, I don't know, you know, about building a stadium and this, that, and the other, but if a few too many bits and bobs get a bit too loose, a few too many nuts and bolts and whatever other things are used to put, you know, a few metal bits and pieces get a bit loose, and it could be like a domino effect. And I hope that, like, we already saw that there was the pipes or the gutters or whatever near the executives' room. The pipes there were leaking. Like, okay, what about if one of them pipes burst or the leak in the roof gets worse and part of the roof falls down? And it's a genuine worrying possibility. And of course, if that does happen, I hope obviously nobody gets injured from that. So, yeah. Yeah. It's so annoying how, you know, Eric's first season came in, third place finish, Carabao Cup, end the trophy drought, get back in the Champions League, play better football, get some good signings in. And we're like, cool, we're starting to get things going again. You know, especially after the season before that, where it was such a disaster. It was such a great recovery season of like winning something, get back in the Champions League, play some better football, get the positivity going, get some better players in. And then we had this season. Right, where do I want to go to next? Let's take a quick break, actually. We'll come back in a second. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu,
you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Qualia to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Qualia if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Qualia, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Qualia for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, let's run through some of my notes and then we'll just keep talking as we're going. I've got thoughts and feelings. I think I've expressed those. FA Cup aftermath, again, brilliant to lift the trophy, but, you know, the elephant in the room. Erik ten Hag, talked a bit about him. Definitely talked about the stadium, the medical and 75 injuries. I feel like that definitely got underplayed of like, oh, yeah, you had loads of injuries. No, we didn't have loads of injuries. We had a ton of injuries. We had more we statistically had more injuries than anybody else. So, what do you do with that? Okay, a few other bits and pieces. Johnny Evans is in talks for a new deal. Now, this says one of two things to me. got a lot of respect for Johnny Evans. He is a Manchester United legend. He's just won the FA Cup. He's now actually won every single trophy you can win with Manchester United, or at least all the major trophies, I think. So that's a good thing for him as well. I didn't know that he hadn't won the FA Cup with Man United. I thought he would have, but apparently not. But now he has got an FA Cup. Of course, he's got a Champions League and a, what'd you call it? Obviously, plenty of Premier League titles as well. So, good for him. So this says one of two things. Now, I want Johnny Evans to be around Manchester United. I also want... I think we can look at Christian Eriksen in the same way. They're sort of like experienced, but legs are going, but still, you know, football IQ's there, the talent's there. The legs are just not there for both of them. I think we can put them both into the same box, if you will. Christian Eriksen does have a year left on his deal anyway, so I don't know what will happen with him this summer. But if no decision gets made, he'll still be here next season anyway. Either we're not bothered at looking for a new centre-back, because literally Varane is no longer a Manchester United player. By default, I think Maguire steps into that position. We do have Kambala, we do have Lindelof, we do have Evans there still. It's funny, isn't it, that we brought him in, I was like, oh yeah, short-term contract, you know, we'll get him in till January. We can't quite get in a defender because we couldn't be bothered to do it, and we missed out on Kim Min-jae, and we didn't buy anybody else, so Johnny Evans is coming back for a few months. Then he played way more games than what we anticipated, both through injury and other reasons, and then signed a long-term contract for the rest of the season, played even more games, again, because of injuries and other stuff, then got injured himself as well. And I think it worked out. I think he did very well in the year that he played for us. I think he's 35 years old, by the way, as well. So, you know, I've seen players play past that age and still be very, very good. Like I said before, the best example I can think of an outfielder still, you know, showing some legs, if you want to call it that, is Giggs running around in central midfield at 40 years old. I've never seen any... Apart from, obviously, goalkeepers who go into their 40s, like Buffon and that. Obviously, goalkeepers is a different position. I've never seen someone do something like play to that age in that position in central midfield, not look remotely like you're out of it, and still be very comfortable. But I remember Giggs doing that. But anyway, so Evans. Okay, if Johnny Evans is a player for Man United player for another year, I don't think that's a specifically bad thing. The only problem that could cause is, oh yeah, let's not go and bother getting another centre back because hey, Martinez is here, Maguire's here, Cambala's here, Lindelof's here, Evans is here, and then just call it a day. To me, I think you do need to look at what's going on with Martinez's injuries. Although again, medical department, all that kind of thing. Cambala, he's obviously the young sort of recurring centre back. Martinez, obviously the starter. You'd probably argue Maguire is as well. Lindelof, I think it's time for him to go. You got Evans is in there as well. I think you need two senior regular centre backs, somebody to properly replace Varane and somebody to replace Lindelof, technically. So you then have Martinez and two regular centre backs, and then Evans in and around the team, Cambala in and around the team, and Maguire there as well. I think that gives you plenty of options. But again, either that says, hey, he's going to stick around to sort of, you know, be around, share his experience with, you know, the likes of Cambala and other the other young lads. So it's good to have him around, but what reason do we want him around specifically? What reason does the club want him around? Is it because we can be cheap and, hey, we'll pick you up for another year because that's what you want, so we'll avoid assigning another centre-back? So it worries me in a way of like, hey, are you doing this to avoid signing a centre-back? But I don't object to him being in and around the club, so it's good for that. This will change a little bit, but Greenwood, Sancho and Donny van de Beek are all back at Manchester United. Their loan deals, I think for each, all three of them have expired. Weird thing on the Dortmund side, I heard that they don't have enough money to buy him. What did you do with the money that you got for Haaland, Bellingham and Sancho? Because Haaland was supposed to be 52 million. It is more than that, but that's what was reported. Sancho was like 75 and Bellingham was like 80 something or other. So like, how come you can't afford to keep Sancho? So yeah, it looks like, because he looked like he was all settled and happy back in Dortmund. I don't know what that means. I did hear a priority is to sell him 40 million, regardless of who the manager is going to be, just as a sort of, you know, this has been a mess, move on sort of thing. I personally would keep him. I just think because of his talent and that kind of stuff. Okay, he fell out with the manager, but some of the greatest players ever have fallen out with the manager. I understand on the side of, okay, Eric won't let him back in the squad because, hey, you never did apologise and standards need to be set and etc, etc. I understand that, but still. Greenwood has said goodbye to Getafe. It seems, again, he seemed like, hey, he moved out the country given everything that happened. Fresh start in Spain with his family and that sort of thing. Obviously doesn't deserve the fresh start, but that's a, I think it's a bit of a different conversation. Obviously he shouldn't play for Man United ever again. Which again is a somewhat shame because, hey, if you didn't do what you apparently did, you had all the talent in the world, but I'm not going to get into all that here, but you know, you did a seemingly very, very bad thing and, you shouldn't be. Plus, forget about, like, hey, should he be in a Man United shirt again? I don't think you could bring him back to Old Trafford and have him walk out onto the pitch and, like, I don't think that's ever going to work. I really don't think that's ever going to work. I think he'll get booed, it'll be distracting, he'll be in the dressing room, he'll get interviewed. I think it would be a massive, massive mess, so I just don't think he can stay anyway. But I thought, hey, Getafe will just buy him and keep him, and he can just stay over there and just keep out of our way. But he seems to have said goodbye, and I haven't heard anything of like, hey, I'm saying goodbye for now because the loan deal's ended, but they're in talks to buy him. I haven't heard anything. I've heard like, okay, he's going to technically come back to Manchester United. I don't think he'll be visiting Carrington anytime soon. But just look for another club. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be Getafe for some reason. So I really did think with Greenwood and with Sancho, they would both stay at the clubs that they were loaned at because they both seem much happier there. at both those clubs. Sancho seemed much happier at Dortmund. Okay, it didn't work out at Manchester United. I still think it could, but seems like it might not. But yeah, it looks like they're both going to look for new, be looking for new clubs, I suppose. So they again, speed. You better get on that very quickly, very, very quickly, because we don't want to be hanging around with these things. And Donny van de Beek, I think his agent came out with some comments recently that said he wants to play at a club that plays good football. Well, yes, true, he deserves that because he's an incredible footballer himself. I still would, you know, blindfolded without blinking or whatever. Wait, what am I trying to say? I would take him back right now. That was never a question to me anyway. Now, with the Greenwood situation, we understand why he won't play for Man United. Sancho situation, we understand what the reasons would be. Apart from just, oh, he's for some, with Donny, I mean, for some sort of mysterious, oh, he's just not good enough. Like, why? Since when? I've just never understood that this whole Donny thing is so annoying. It's so annoying to me. It really, really is. And to me, right, if Eriksen's not going to be there, Casemiro's gone, or hopefully going, Amrabat might not stay. Because the current active midfielders we know will very, very likely be playing for Man United next season is Cobby, Bruno, Mount. Is that it? Cobby. Because Amrabat's deal is gone, although I'll talk about him in a minute. Yeah, Mount still there. Bruno has had, there was talks of like a Saudi move or something, but he said he's committed to Man United. Cobby, obviously. I could say Dan Gore, but I don't know if he'll be starting or whatever. I mean, like the definite sort of, at least on the bench, if not in the starting 11. Is it just three? Am I forgetting anybody? Like Casemiro is not a definite anymore. It's just Mount. Am I missing somebody? Let me look at the squad list a second. I feel like I'm missing somebody really important from that list. Let's take a look at our midfield squad list. Man United squad. Midfielders. It's very short already. So Amrabat might not be here. Casemiro might not be here. Eriksen might not be here. Oh, McTominay. I count McTominay more as a forward. But for actual, yeah, just three. For actual central midfielders, Bruno, Cobby, Mason Mount. We're going to need a lot more than that. We're going to need a lot more than that, guys. Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. That's fewer than what I thought. Can Donny really not get in the team? With that? Not even, he's probably sick of sitting on the bench at this point. But, okay, Bruno, Cobby, probably guaranteed starters. Mason Mount, I don't know where you quite put him, but, you know, off the bench and competition is a good thing. Probably need two, probably need two CDMs, at least. Yeah, gonna need a lot of midfielders. You're really telling me that Donny can't fit into that? He's not good enough to fit into that? Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. But anyway, like, because he didn't get much game time over at Frankfurt. I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't know. So then some players that have left Manchester United. Martial and Varane have, of course, both left, both been confirmed. Brendan Williams, remember him? He's supposed to be leaving as well. I think his contract runs out this summer. And one that was a bit of a surprise. I know I've kind of talked about him in a certain way in the past. Amari Forson. The winger, let's call him a forward, is leaving on a free transfer as well. The young lad who made a few appearances did technically get the assist from Cobby's goal against Wolves. See, I know it sounded like I had not a problem with him when he was playing, or not that he wasn't good enough. I just didn't get to see enough of him to work out what type of player he was, where he actually played. Was it left wing, right wing? Was it forward? Is he like a centre forward? Is he a in the box poacher striker? I didn't see really. We saw a good chunk of him, but we didn't really see specifically what he was good at. But I guess that's it. And look, he was there obviously to fill out space when, you know, certain wingers had gone or there was injuries and things like that. Obviously, he was there to fill up space, but, you know, that's a good way to break into a team as well. But he's left Manchester United on a free transfer. I don't know really what to make of it. I do feel quite disappointed by that because, you know, you see a young lad break into the team, and of course Man United have got a fantastic history with academy products and stuff. Two of which just scored in a cup final, Garnacho and Cobby. But yeah, we won't get to see any more of him. I don't know where he's going to end up, but best of luck to him. I do wish him the very best in his career. But it was never that I'd never had a problem with him. I just couldn't work out what type of player he was, what he was good at, what sort of anything about him, really. Just saw him on the pitch running a bit, making a few passes, and that was kind of that. So I don't know what happened there, whether he just, I don't know, whether he just fancied a move somewhere else, or I don't know what happened there. So, but best of luck to him in the future. And on the Amrabat side, he has said that he would like to stay at Manchester United, but he has not heard anything from Manchester United. Yet another example of what the hell are we doing? What are we waiting for? It seems like all of our focus at the moment, literally for the last 2 weeks, while all this has been going on, of like loans ending, players leaving on a free, other players leaving, players wondering if, you know, if they can stay at Manchester United, we've just been talking to managers. It's really just annoying, odd behaviour from this football club. And again, we're used to Man United being very slow, but I think a lot of us at least hoped things could be a bit different this season, this summer, rather. Because we're almost halfway through June, and we've done nothing so far. So, but that's all at the end of my notes. I haven't talked a ton about the season itself, I suppose, but we won the FA Cup, which was great. The 8th place finish just doesn't feel accurate to me. I know it is accurate, that is where we ended up, but yeah, we just, because I know we sort of picked up some form just before the Man City game. We won those last two games, didn't we? But just those injuries just decimated us this season. I do think Eric made some mistakes, that kind of thing, but because it's technically, if you take away the FA Cup win for a moment, it really was a disaster, because it's like knocked out the Carabao Cup very early. 8th place finish, worst in our Premier League history. 75 injuries, probably a Premier League record. Can't think of anybody who's had higher than that. Knocked out the Champions League group stage by finishing bottom of the group, losing a ton of games. From that, if you look at the season that way, it was awful. It really was awful. But we're Kobbie Mainoo breaking through this season. We're Willy Kambala breaking through this season. We had Garnacho continuing on from his breakout season last season. He had Rasmus Højlund. Once he broke his duck and, you know, broke his goal drought, he kept scoring, then got injured. That's like the theme of our season, really, isn't it? Injuries. Just injuries after injuries after injuries. Because even when it was like, oh, 16 games without a goal for Højlund, that's really bad. Like, what do we do about it? And then he scored, 8-7. It's like, finally, this guy's like found his form. He's getting serviced a bit more and, you know, he's finding those goals. And then that got ruined because of it. That momentum got stopped because of injuries. And then he came back and was he fully fit? And even if you go to, you know, Mason Mount and that sort of stuff. And like, oh, he's got number 7, Mason Mount here. Big signing from Chelsea. He's going to be really important. Injured for like 80% of the season. Kobbie Mainoo looking good in pre-season. Oh look, a big game against Real Madrid in pre-season. Gets injured, out for months. Granted, that ended well. You know, he came back and then he took the team by storm, and he's one of the first names on the team sheet now. Martin, and it was Martinez, like, you know, him and Varane partnered again at the back, really solid. Both of them this season having big injury problems. Varane, you kind of understood a little bit. We were a bit more used to that because we knew what we were getting with Varane. And then, you know, it comes back, looks really good, really sharp, and it's like, wow, we've really missed you a lot. As I said in my Who Should Stay, Who Should Go podcast, Martinez is our best and most important player, I think. I think we really miss something without him. The thing is, I've heard some comments of like, oh, should we find, like, if Martinez is out, is that just it? Like, does the whole team thing fall apart? But it's like, what about if you take De Bruyne out of Man City or something? You know, or like, you know, every team's got those one or two players that just glues the team together. Martinez is definitely that for us. And what do you do when they're out injured, I suppose? It's like, if a team's got a top scorer and they're injured for 2, 3 weeks, okay, you've got to find someone to replace that and replace those goals. Not everybody can be replaced quite so easily. I think it's a combination of we do need good cover for him. I think Luke Shaw could maybe fit that bill in a certain way, in a similar way. But we also do need to, whether it's like he's got injury-prone problems or just the medical department, obviously, given what happened to the rest of the team, we do need to find some sort of solution for that. So, and then you had things like Casemiro getting injured and then just forgetting how to play football. That was more just weird than anything else. Weird and really, really frustrating and really annoying. It's like, why are you playing like this? I don't know. And then Rashford losing his form and then getting it back a little bit and then losing it again. And that's what I mean when it comes to ultimately when it does come to Erik ten Hag. It's like, oh, you've done crap this season, and you really look at how much stuff he's had to deal with. Look at how many different situations he had to deal with. I said this to my parents when I was talking to them the other day. I don't just think Erik ten Hag's got the most difficult job in football. I think he's got the most difficult job in sport. If you're the Manchester United Football Club manager, eyes are always on you. And even when you do win something like the FA Cup, even when you do actually beat your quote-unquote noisy neighbours in a cup final in a really brilliant way, it wasn't a snatch and grab or anything like that. Two very well-taken goals, all that kind of thing. You still get question marks on you, even after you. And even if you go to last season, the Carabao Cup, you know, first trophy he could win with us, did that, ended the 6-year trophy drought, and all you heard was, ah, it's not a Premier League title though, is it? And it's like, can't we? He's now actually done two seasons, two trophies. Can we not give this man some credit? Does he not deserve some credit for also doing it while being under the wing of the worst? I'll say it this way: the worst owners in sports history. Is it like, even if you look at golf or tennis or cricket or any other sport, is there any owners in the world that are worse than the Glazers? With the capabilities that they've got, of course, as well. Like they are able to do a lot. They do just do nothing for this football club. Doing all that, winning two trophies in 2 seasons with all these injuries, all like the Ronaldo thing and the Greenwood thing and the Sancho thing and the Casemiro thing, all this sort of different stuff that's going on. Can we not give the man some credit? I think whether you like him or don't like him or don't like his tactics or whatever. And okay, the FA Cup final from last year still hurts, and that would be 3 trophies in 2 seasons, which would be great. I just think he deserves more credit. That's just, yeah. Given the surrounding situation, so still, I'm still sticking by him. I still want him here next season. I think we need to continue building on what we've got. But as I said, in terms of building on what we've got, we've got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. But anyway, that's what happened to Manchester United this season. We won an FA Cup very, very well. We didn't do very well in all the other competitions. We had a ton of injuries. Manager got questioned every single step of the way. We continued to have the worst owners in sports. We had this guy come in who promised us a lot and hasn't really done. The only thing he has done so far is actually replace all these, you know, executives and directors and, you know, all those people in all those roles. He's replaced most of those. But other than that, stadiums falling apart, ton of injuries, medical departments not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But somehow we still got a manager that's won two trophies in two seasons. It's quite something. It's quite something. But we've got a lot of work. There's loads of work to do. We need to have a really, really, really good transfer window. There's still some players to get rid of. Some that do need to go and some that unfortunately might go. So yeah, there's just a lot of work to do. So anyway, I thought I should end on this. I don't actually have this written down, but I already know who I'm going to choose. The worst player of the season and in the player of the season itself. So not of the calendar year, but the actual my player of the season. I think it's fair to say worst player of the season, I think you would go, is there more than one candidate? A lot of people would just go, oh, it's Rashford. I think I've got to go with Casemiro. The manner of how that fell apart and how important he is to this team. And how, when you did have the spine a bit more unavailable, like Varane, Martinez, Kobe, who was more available, and Kobe had to deal with having Casemiro next to him, it just didn't help stuff. You had other positive things. You had the resurgence of Maguire until he, guess what, got injured. It's really annoying with Maguire, isn't it? Because, this time last season, when we get to the sort of, oh, season's finished, let's talk transfer window, he was number one on everybody's to-go list. Oh yeah, surely Maguire's got to go. And he almost did. He went to West Ham. But, as I said a long time ago, he stood firm. He took a lot of abuse, none of which is acceptable. You can criticise him. I've criticised him before. But abuse is not acceptable. And he said, no, I want to play for Manchester United. I want to work hard. I want to play for Manchester United. And I don't know what he specifically did different, other than just be more focused, more solidified in his performance. And look, did he suddenly turn into this world-class player? No, I wouldn't go that far. But somebody who felt, I think with Maguire, it's always kind of been, he hasn't yet turned into that player that he should have been for us. The dominant centre-back in the air who, get in the way of people, be really strong, be really dominant, be that sort of, big, imposing centre-back. And he has had some disastrous times at Manchester United. But when we have seen him play really well, like be a bit more dominant, win the ball in the air, score a few goals, be more confident and more secure on the ball, and actually look like a really good player, he's somebody that you can get behind and root for, I think, certainly. And I remember the fear of, I think it was when Varane was injured or something, and he came back in, and everyone was like, oh my God, what's he going to do? And it was one of them things, when you have those players that, oh my God, he's got the ball, what's he going to do? He's going to slip over, he's going to misplace a pass, he's going to do something really bad. He's going to run into a player, lose the ball. And it was slowly but surely, pick off this pass, win this header, win the ball here. Just do these little, like get a few more blocks in and these kind of things. And it was like, huh, he's not a disaster at the moment. And then about 5-10 games maybe went by, and it was like, yeah, I'd start Maguire this week. But that's what I love that so much. I love that so much. And it's like, okay, if you're playing badly for the football club I support, I either want you to get better, want you to improve, or I want you to leave. You either improve or you leave. Or if it's like you can't improve because of injuries, then obviously you need to go away and sort out your injury problems. If you're too injury prone or not fully fit, go and sort that out. But it felt like he tried, and it felt like he worked his way back into the team, and I would not sell him this summer. I would still buy at least two centre backs, and I don't know if I'd start Maguire week in or week out, but If he can, and it's a, I guess still a big if he can still continue that form that he showed at the tail end of the season, that if you can tell me that I will get Matt Maguire next season, then I want to keep him. But again, not necessarily starter. I don't know like how good he'd be as a starter week in, week out at the moment. But that, see, that was the, that's the, just to compare a little bit, and I don't want to keep digging at Casemiro because it's not a nice thing to do necessarily, but criticism's due where criticism's due. When I saw Maguire struggling, I could kind of tell that he, like, he could have just, hey, I'll give up, I'll go to West Ham, I'll just, you know, not have that ambition in me, kind of thing, and he was determined to stay, and he did get better. When Casemiro was messing up at the end of this season, it looked like he didn't care. And I look, and I haven't spoken to these players. They can't tell me if they do or don't care. I'm reading your body language, your facial expressions. And when things happen to you on the pitch, what's your reaction? What's your behaviour? And it just looked to me like, It looks to me like Casemiro's just already ready to just go to Saudi. And it's like, all right, just go then. If you're fed up, you had a great season last season. You were very, very helpful to us last season, but you fell off. If you want to go, we want you to go. So maybe it's just time to go. But if Casemiro does it, pulls a Maguire and like, oh wow, this player's suddenly back. This is the 5-time Champions League winner and all this sort of thing. Then great, keep him. So anyway, all that bit. I just remembered the whole Maguire thing. I just wanted to talk about that. As well. So, but let's end on a very positive note. Although the Maguire thing there was very positive, I don't know if he will or won't stay next season. I think it would depend on what we do with Lindelof, though, as well. So, but at the moment, we need more centre backs than what we've got. So, excuse me, don't want to get rid of too many. A player of the season. Let's talk about some candidates first, because I have chosen one. Who played really, really well this season? You do have Rasmus Højlund. Very good debut season. Did get, I think it was 15 or so goals in total. Did play very well. Did really well in the Champions League. And once he did find his Premier League form, again, that was going really well until the injuries. Can't really choose Martinez because he wasn't here for a lot of the season. Same thing with Mason Mount. Garnacho had a very, very good, very productive season. There was a few games where he looked a bit burnt out, but then he did start, I think he started like 40 games in a row or something like that. So Garnacho is another, of course, you know, scored in the final, did very well there, scored some very important goals for us. So he's another candidate. Rashford, I don't think so this year. Who else played very well? Bruno Fernandes frustrated me this season. He's not going to be my choice for player of the season, but did have a very good end of the season as well. Delo really surprised me. There was, yes, the point where I was annoyed with him in the season, but I think he really showed his versatility this season, especially adapting to playing at left back, switching to right back, scored a few good goals, got a few really good, you know, passing and crossing was really, really good and really productive. That sort of thing was very good. Maguire, like I said, very much improved. He's not going to be my player of the season, though. There's one very obvious name I'm missing out, deliberately, because I will, talk about him in a minute. Donny didn't play, Sancho didn't play, so it won't be either of those. Eriksen kind of got ruined through the Andy Carroll injury, didn't he? So that was very, very annoying. Who else did we have? Antony, no, very non-productive season. He scored a cracking and very important goal against Liverpool, but very poor this season. Who else played? Diallo. Good spark towards the end of the season. Hopefully he can be given more time. Who else did we have? Wan-Bissaka. Very good this season as well. Varane was injured for a lot of it. Who else was in the squad this season? But of course, the obvious choice to me, the big name I'm missing out in this whole listing part, my player of the season is Kobbie Mainoo. For a lot of reasons, really. I think breaking through to the team at 18, then turning 19. The there's a lot of things that are very, very good about Kobbie Mainoo. Turns out he's got a very good shot. He can pass really well, can cross. This man's composure is, apart from maybe Martinez and maybe Varane, I don't, and at times Onana when he's got strikers charging him down. I don't know who else has got quite the composure that Kobbie Mainoo's got in this team. And there was a few fixtures that really, really stood out to me. Okay, I think his first appearance, which was that Everton game, was incredible. Playing, of course, at Wembley, Cup Final, Man City, big game. Away at the Etihad, Man City, big game. I think it was the away at Liverpool, for me. Every season I still point to that as the most difficult fixture. Okay, it's very difficult to play, you know, at the Emirates against Arsenal. It's very difficult to play at the Bridge against Chelsea. It's very difficult to play at Etihad against City. But there's just always, and a lot of managers have said this about Anfield as well, about just the atmosphere and just this glooming doom sort of feeling at Anfield. There still are more important historical rivals. And particularly, of course, after last year's 7-0 battering, it was, you know, oh my God, here's the fixture, away at Liverpool at Anfield. Okay, we didn't win the game and we probably should have, which nobody expected us to, because the conversations going into that game were, right, what's it going to be, 4, 5, 6, is it going to be 7 again, is it going to be more, are you going to break the Premier League record, let's do the old bingo thing or whatever, you know, place your bets sort of thing. How many, okay, Liverpool are going to win, but how many goals are they going to win by? And turns out that we just shut them out and we played very well. We could have nabbed a goal or two and won the game. But when you're 18 years old and you have your breakout season at Manchester United and you're that composed, like, I'm sure he was a bit nervous and was a bit, you know, I don't know if intimidated is, you'd at least be a bit, I'm sure he was at least a little bit nervous, although he just doesn't come across that way at all in interviews. Like when he's spoken, he's like, yeah, I'm just here and I'm just doing my thing. That's it. Like, just, it's just very simple to him. To do that away at Anfield is almost more impressive than anything else he did this season, just for me personally. I'm very, very, very impressed with him overall this season. And even when there was a couple of games, I was like, okay, Kobbie hasn't, you know, pulled up any trees in this game, but look at the team around him. Because there was a couple of games where it's like, okay, we're just leaning on this guy too much, and the rest of the team isn't pulling their own weight, and he's getting drowned with the rest of the team. They're sort of pulling him down with them. And, like, to do what he did against Wolves, you know, to dash past a couple of players, tuck it in the bottom corner, to score in a final against City, the way that he did, the way that he played in that game, I think he's been absolutely incredible. I didn't see the England game, by the way, against, who did we just play? Iceland? The one that we just lost. I didn't see it, by the way, so I don't know how well Kobbie played. I did watch the highlights, but it doesn't tell you the full story. But by the way, Rice, Bellingham, and Mainoo, that's your midfield for the tournament. Just the manner of how he sort of settled into this team. And it wasn't just, oh, I'm gonna silently be here and sort of pick off a few passes and be really cautious and really careful. The way he kind of just stepped up, the way he can skip past players, but as much as it's good to be generally good at football in a physical way, your mentality and your football IQ are very, very, very important in this game. I think football IQ particularly, mentality is obviously very important, having the belief in yourself and that sort of thing. But football IQ, that's something that I appreciate in a footballer's football IQ, when it's like, okay, you might have the ability to cross, shoot or pass, but that ball's coming towards you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get that ball? Do you have a plan? Do you have something in mind? And there were times when, because not every player actually calls for the ball, but there was times when he did. And it was like, okay, that tells me that before the player's even chosen to pass the ball to you, you've thought of something of like, give me the ball, I'm gonna do this thing. And even if the thing doesn't work, right, I just appreciate a player that has football IQ like that, like Donny van de Beek does as well. And by the way, I do see, I watched this, 15-minute video a couple of days ago, just sort of like some of his highlights of the season. He does have, he's not the same type of player as Donny, but there are some Donny-esque things that he does do that are kind of similar. And they are basic, simple things, but sometimes it's just about keeping things ticking in the midfield. You know, I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to pass to, and I'm going to move. Very simple, right? But it's keeping the, it's just keeping the ball and keeping things moving. Just keeping possession and that sort of thing. But look, Garnacho's debut season last year was very, very good as well. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And look, both of them have basically come through the team together. They both won the FA Cup. They've both now won the FA Cup and the Youth Cup together, which is really, really nice. And like I said, Garnacho was excellent this season. But I just think the way that Kobbie Mainoo put himself into this team, and granted, was it because Mount got injured? Yes. Was it because other injuries happened and Eriksen was unavailable? And yeah, but that's when you step up and you take your chance. And to do that at 18 years old, and look, he's not the first 18-year-old to do it, and hopefully won't be the last. But I also think, and this isn't me taking credit away from Garnacho, I think central midfield is the hardest place, the hardest position to play in football, especially defensive midfield. Like, if you're on the wing, you don't have the ball as much, even though you're looked at for the sort of creativity and those kinds of things. But to be in the midfield and do what you've done against City and Arsenal and Chelsea and Liverpool and all these big teams, I just think is very, very impressive. So big congratulations to him. He's probably the first name on the team sheet at the moment, or one of the first. But we've got to support him next season. We've got to get him a really, really, really good CDM to play next to. Because obviously next season it's going to be a CDM, then Kobbie Mainoo, then Bruno Fernandes just in front. That's going to be our midfield for next season probably. Obviously, he can't play Mason Mount as a CDM because that's not his position. And Kobbie Mainoo himself can play there, but I almost think he's a bit wasted in that position. If we need him to play there, I think he can. And if you put him in like a double pivot thing with Amrabat, which we've clearly seen can work against City and Liverpool and other teams, my preference would be to keep Amrabat and have him as a starting CDM, but then also have two or three other options. One or two other options. But that just depends on what we decide to do with Amrabat. So, broken through to the England team already. He's been picked for the Euros. So, congratulations to him. It's very, very impressive. So, all right, that's it. I think that's everything I want to talk about. How am I feeling about next season? Impatient. Just make some decisions, get some things done, choose a manager, start buying some players, do something with the stadium, sort the medical department out. I've already talked about all that, haven't I? There's just a lot of things to do, so hurry up and get on with it. You've talked a lot, Jim Ratcliffe, you've talked a hell of a lot about you want to do this, that and the other. What's taking you so long? If I've got a question for, I mean, I've got a lot of questions I'd like to ask Jim Ratcliffe. If I'm to ask you, Jim Ratcliffe, why am I seeing stadium updates for Everton, but not for us? Why am I seeing transfer news for Chelsea and for Crystal Palace and Man City, but not for us? Why am I seeing other clubs doing other things that we're not doing? Why are we seeing, you know, Liverpool have got their manager situation sorted out. Brighton have changed their manager. Ipswich have sorted their manager out. Chelsea have chosen a new person. Why haven't you? Why haven't you chosen the manager? Whether you do pick Ten Hag or somebody else, why haven't you chosen? I'm feeling hopeful. If we can do the right things, we can have a very good season next season. But you best hurry up. You better hurry up. Because I don't want to sit here doing the preview next season, going, oh, here's the 10 players that we missed out on. And Everton completed their stadium thing, whatever, and we're still doing whatever. Hey, we picked Gareth Southgate and we missed out on these 10 players. Brilliant, let's go win the Premier League title. It's just like, oh, man. Yeah. I'm feeling hopeful but impatient. My patience is wearing thin. Don't you dare pick Gareth Southgate. Please don't. I will be so pissed off. Even though, yes, I've asked you to hurry up and pick a situation, please don't pick that one. Just give Eric one more year. Just one more year. I mean, City are probably going to win the league anyway, right? Unless, Man City, you're a lot of jokers, aren't you? That lawsuit against the Premier League. Oh, I hope that you get the sink thrown at you. Kitchen sink thrown at you. Is that the right phrase? Suing the Premier League because you've been bullied. Oops, you've won 4 Premier Leagues in a row. Boo-hoo. Hey, we're the only ones that broke these rules 115 times. The rules aren't fair. Hey, nobody else has broken them. And even the teams that have slipped up a bit, they've admitted it and paid the price, and you're just lying. Yeah, it's just funny. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening, this long podcast. If you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this season and next season, who do you want to be the manager? Who do you think is going to be the manager? How much longer do you think the club will take to decide? I hope it is tomorrow morning. I hope that if it's true about Eric coming back to work tomorrow, which would kind of make a bit of sense, I suppose, I hope it is tomorrow. I hope I wake up tomorrow morning and they say, hey, Erik ten Hag is staying, and then we can finally move forward and start doing things. I hope so. Because I hope by the time you hear this podcast that we've made that choice. Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. What did you think of the last season? Are you hopeful, or how are you feeling about next season? Community Shield, by the way, on the 10th of August against Manchester City, and then the season starts on the 17th. I don't know who the first game is against because we haven't decided that yet. We've got the Euros to go through, we've got the pre-season to go through, we've got transfers to go through, and hopefully other things as well. So, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes, including in the email box, so write in, get your thoughts in. Any of those thoughts, I can cover some of those thoughts if you've got them. On the preview, that will probably be the next podcast. Because if they sack Eric and choose somebody else, I will do a podcast for that. If they just post like, hey, yeah, we're sticking with Eric, etc., etc., I'll just talk about that in the preview for next season. So don't give me another podcast today. And I don't want to do that podcast. I don't want to sit there talking about Eric being sacked and us getting somebody else. I don't want to do that. Don't make me do it. Just don't make that choice. Anyway, in the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. Got a lot of film reviews to do, by the way, but all in good time. Just be patient. Of course, we've got Inside Out 2 coming out next weekend, which I'm very excited for. So look out for that. Season reviews, got House of Dragon coming back soon, got The Boys coming back soon, Star Trek Discovery's just wrapped up, there's gaming talk to talk about, lots of stuff always going on, entertainmenttalk.org, and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk. Listen to more stuff, there's the categories, search options, there's the posts, there's us on podcast platforms. Word of mouth, social media, let other people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad free podcast review options. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Geek Town Radio, that's for your TV and your film news. Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. There's been some new guest appearances, so go and check out those wonderful people. One of which has got a name you might be familiar with. So go and check out that episode. Patreon, yeah, we talked about that. Twitch, eTalkUK. And YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright. So over to you, Man United. You do what you're going to do. Just don't take too long. Just stop mucking about. Come on. Stop it. Just act like a sensible, professional, proper football club. For once. Please. All right, thanks for listening, and I guess I'll see you, unless Eric gets sacked and I do that podcast. I guess I'll see you next season. But we won the FA Cup as well. Yay. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.